The Bible readings from Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. May God add his blessing to those words. Each one of you has a gift from God. Amen. But I might have to exercise my gift of waffling on for half an hour. I thought that might have been a nice gift for you. Is anyone a bit sad today? No. Elizabeth is, because Geelong lost the football. So I'd like to give you this tissue. Now I just want to make this greatly known that at this moment Elizabeth doesn't have a tissue, I hope. And in a moment she will have a tissue thanks to the generosity of my heart and my... So I'd like to present you with this tissue on behalf of my wonderful generosity. Thank you. Oh, thank you, yes. That's my wound from Geelong losing. Now that Elizabeth's got a tissue, she now has a choice whether she's going to use that tissue or not. And I'm sure by the end of this sermon, she'll have had multiple opportunities to use it to wipe tears from her eyes, tears of pain and torment. If only I had earmuffs for you all. But that's one of the wonderful things about gifts, isn't it? The wonderful thing about gifts is that one moment you're sitting there and you don't own a wonderful plastic thing that can sit over your dinner in the microwave to stop it splattering, that's got magnets built into it so it sticks to the top of the microwave when you're not using it, and then the next minute you have one. Isn't it amazing? Maybe other gifts that you might get, but we get a gift and thanks to someone else's generosity something comes into our life that we don't have. Or maybe we get multiples of one thing and then we can share it with others. And that gift then becomes an opportunity, whether it's an opportunity to use it to bring blessing to ourselves or others, or we can pass it on to someone else and bring blessing to their life by re-gifting it next Christmas because I'm trying to move it on in graciousness or whatever it is. But that every gift is an opportunity that we receive. And I think that's why we get so excited when we get given something that's wrapped, a gift, because what's the opportunity that lies within this paper? As we've just read, God gives each one of us a special gift. And this gift is for us, it's an opportunity. Whenever we God gives us a gift, it's this opportunity for us to do something special for him. Now, we often talk about gifts at Christmas time, don't we? And we'll often talk about what's the greatest gift of all. Or I thought more people might have known that answer. Maybe we better go back to the beginnings. The greatest gift of all is Jesus. And Jesus, we talk about at Christmas time this idea of incarnation, where God becomes flesh. God becomes to earth in bodily form in Jesus. And that's what incarnation effectively means. It means being this taking bodily form. And God's plan for us as human beings and for this world revolves around this idea of incarnation, where God came as flesh, God came in bodily form to bring us salvation, to bring hope and a future to us as humankind. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then Jesus lived his life. He was nailed to a cross. He died, was put in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose again. So you don't need to come at Easter now. You've just got that story taken up. He rose again, then 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven. And then we might think, well, that's the end of the incarnation. But it's not. Because Christ's physical presence still exists on this earth. Because we as the church are the body of Christ. And we carry on the work of Jesus. We are his body in the world. But when Jesus was born, he was stuck to being in one place at one time. Today, all around the world, in every country of the world, the body of Christ is active and at work, bringing God's blessing to this world, bringing the message of salvation, bringing the hope of God. What happened on a small scale 2,000 years ago in Israel is now happening on a huge scale around the world. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Every aspect of human life is affected by the body of Christ. And it's a thrilling adventure to discover how God has designed the church to influence the world. It's one of the great excitements to be part of that. But on the other hand, there's nothing more pathetic and more barren than a church which does not understand it's part of being part of this body of Christ, that it has it's part of God's plan for this earth. The church which fails to grasp that it is the body of Christ is doomed to substitute the power of God for things like business methods, organizational procedures, and so on as a means to influence society. We can try and create a man-made institution, but when we become the living body of Christ, anything is possible. So going back to our scripture reading, we've been slowly working through Ephesians, and as we've been reading through Ephesians, we get to this verse where it says, this is the New Living Translation, however, God has given each one of us a special gift. Or in most translations, it will use the word grace, a special grace or a grace. Through the generosity of Christ. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. One translation says, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And this verse captures the power that can be exercised through this gift, as well as the fact that we receive this gift through the Holy Spirit. Now, the word grace in the original Greek comes from the word charis, and the word charismatic is a word that's used today that comes from that, exercising the gifts of God. And the grace is a God-given capacity for service that we each receive as Christians, which we did not possess before we became a Christian. So it's not a talent we're born with. I don't know if pet cows have a talent for singing. We might find that out later, I guess. But each one of you are born with talents. Some of you just have a natural affinity with numbers. You can just, maths is easy. Some of you just are born with a natural talent for caring. But a gift is something that we don't have in the past. And then suddenly you can almost, not always, but often you can almost go, yeah, I can see when God gave me that gift. The fact that I can do this today, I can almost see the day when God gave me that gift. I was so shy and timid as a child and even as a teenager that when I was put on stage, for any reason, I just froze. I think I've shared it before, but I spent my whole junior soldier enrollment with my hands on my face so I didn't have to see everybody and was in tears. But God gave me that gift. Paul refers to his own gift in Ephesians 3:8. And he talks about how his gift is to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And as you read through the New Testament, you see that this idea of this gift that God gives us is something that was central to the beliefs and practices of the early church. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I mean, 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And it's the emphasis in Scripture is that it's every Christian has at least one gift. Has anyone ever received a gift, though, and gone, and I might have a use for it one day, and you put it in a cupboard somewhere, and then 5 years later you open the cupboard and go, oh, I forgot I had that. Anyone ever done that before? And then you wrap it up and give it to somebody else, but you've got to try and remember who gave it to you so you don't give it back to the same person. We all can receive gifts and stash them away and not use it. And that can be our experience as Christians. God gives us a gift, and sometimes we get a little bit, ooh, I'm not sure how to use that, or it's a bit scary, so we park it, and it lies within us, but it's dormant, unused. But when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides within you and equips you with at least one gift. My experience would be that believers have multiple gifts that God gives them. So it's important that we start to discover what is the gift that God's given us, because that gift is part of who He's created us to be. And when we use that gift in our service for God, it's when we truly, I think, feel alive when we're doing ministry. Some ministry we're called to do as Christians is just hard, is a hard slog. And you can probably all think of stuff that you do as part of your Christian service that you go, that's just hard work. For many, that might be something like the Red Shield appeal. You do it because you have to do it. But some people have a gift for that. They love it. Some people have it, and they're alive when they're doing it. I'm not one of them, sorry, Bruce. But sometimes we're alive, you know. Some people just love sharing their faith. And it just comes so naturally. And the rest of us are going, how did they just turn this conversation about putting washing on the line to about Jesus? How did they do that? And on it goes. So throughout Scripture, there's a whole variety of gifts. The most common passages that people go to discover the gifts is 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And, you know, you'll see, if you've read books, you might have read some books on spiritual gifts, and you'll see a list of all the gifts that they list. You know, often they're around, usually most lists have around 16 to 17 gifts, but I personally believe we can't put God in a box, and God can equip with any sort of gift. And we see it through Scriptures where He gives people the gifts. So He gives some people the gift of being able to create stuff that draws people into God's presence. We see that when the temple's built and so on. There's so many gifts, and we should never assume that we know all the gifts. Ephesians chapter 4. Just lost my spot, sorry. 12, I want to have a quick look there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. Again, Paul says here, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. You'll notice there in those few verses, there's three divisions, which captures the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see that, first of all, there's a gift. The spiritual gift is given to each one of us. There's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but there's one source of those gifts, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's why we can only have a spiritual gift as a believer, because it's when we place our faith in Jesus that we receive the Holy Spirit into our life, and it's through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life that the gift manifests. For some people, Sharing their faith is their gift. For others, it's helping those in need. For others, it's getting, it's teaching. For others, it's just doing stuff behind the scenes with administration. But there's one source for all these gifts, and that's the Holy Spirit. And then there's different forms of service, but one Lord. We serve the same Lord. These are our ministries, our service. And our ministry is often the area where our gift is exhibited. Now, two people may have, say, the gift of evangelism, but one exercises that gift in a completely different culture, and another exercises the gift with young people. A third person might have that gift and they exercise it with their friends and neighbours. Our ministry is our area where we exercise our gift, where we use our gift, and that's where we serve Jesus. And then there's different kinds of workings that come from the Father. And what that's really getting at is we can do the same ministry exactly in the same place on two different occasions and get two completely different results. Why is that? Well, one person gets up and shares a gospel message and one or two people respond. Someone else gets up and does a Bible message and thousands come to faith. What's the difference there? Is it that one was right and one was wrong? No, it's not. It's that God is at work. And sometimes God chooses to do things on one scale and other times he chooses to do things at a different scale. It's the degree to which God manifests his power on a specific occasion. So every time we use our spiritual gift, we can't expect the same results because it's not about us. Our job is to be faithful in using the gift. How then God uses that gift is up to God. We just have to be faithful in using our gifts. God will bring the harvest. I think it's really important to really just capture that thought for a moment because we can get so discouraged. We can get discouraged very quickly because we think, you know, I put everything into that and I let God work through me and it just feels like nothing happened. But we can't see the whole picture. That's the first thing we need to remember. We don't know what's going on in the hearts and the minds and the lives of the people that we've just served. We may not see any outward fruit. And that outward fruit may not display for months or years. But what we've done has had an impact. And we have to be careful we also don't fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to others. You know, it's easy to look at someone like a Billy Graham, clearly got a gift of evangelism. And we suddenly just think that God's given us that same gift and we go, but I could never use that because I could never do what Billy Graham does. Now, we don't tend to make those comparisons, but we do compare to each other. Oh, my friend Joe, he's got that gift and he's just so good at it. I could never be as good as Joe, so I'm better off not using it. Remember, our job isn't the results. Our job is to be faithful to God in using our gifts and God will take care of the results. Because the problem is if we start to get hung up on the results, we then start to rely on our own strength rather than God's power to produce the results. How do we know we're probably relying on our own strength rather than God's power? I think it sometimes gets to do with if we start getting run down serving God, we're probably not relying on God. Now, there are seasons in ministry and we do have to make sure we do things like take Sabbath days and all that sort of thing. But we have to be so careful that we're operating from a position of operating within God's power rather than our own strength. We just need to sow the seed and God will bring the harvest. I planted some zucchini seeds this year or last year and I put about 10 in the ground and watered them along with a lot of other things. A lot of the other things died, they never grew, But the zucchini has gone whoosh. And we've got a zucchini glut in the Walker household at the moment. Every day I'm bringing in two or three zucchini, and it's like, yes, it's doing my head in now. We've got our whole bench is nearly covered now with zucchini. It's just getting out of control. I know there was many years ago a movie made Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that classic movie. I'd recommend you should look it up. It's an absolute classic. But I just hope we don't have Attack of the Killer Zucchini in our play. But I did the work of putting the seeds in the ground, and I get out there every couple of days and I water. That's all I've been doing, planting and watering. And suddenly the plants grew, and then the fruit grew, and then there's all this zucchini. Did I create the zucchini? No. But I had a part to play in it. I needed to be faithful in the planting and in the watering. In other words, using the gifts I've got so that God could do the growing. And that's how it is we have to think with our gifts. We discover the gift, we plan it, we start to use it, but we let God take care of the results. If we're using our gift for God's glory, then we're doing what we need to do. And we'll let God take care of the rest. So let's have a quick skim through some of the gifts. I won't go into much detail with the gifts. If you want to discover your spiritual gifts or look into it a bit further, on our Sunday night in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be delving into that and a bit deeper for the month of March. So our two holiness meetings in March, we're going to delve more into spiritual gifts. So come along to that if you want to discover more with gifts. Firstly, though, we'll look at the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. So Paul says, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. This gift of wisdom. You'll have probably come across people with this gift. They just know exactly what to say at the right time. And just can sometimes the room can be sort of developing into a little bit of chaos, and then they just speak some words and it just makes sense. I guess a good example in the Bible would be Solomon. He had the gift of wisdom. The second is the gift of knowledge. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. I don't know if you've ever had it happen to you, but for some people, the Spirit gives this gift that suddenly something, he just puts some knowledge into their mind. He just gives them an answer to a question. And it's like maybe a Bible verse comes across. A good practice to have if you've got that gift is to read a lot. Because the more we read, the more God can use that gift, the more we study, and so on. But it's where the Spirit just gives us knowledge in to be able to speak into a situation. Often wisdom and knowledge operate hand in hand. The same Spirit gives great faith. It's great to have people with the gift of faith. We did a spiritual gift survey when we were the officers at Maribor, and quite a lot of people surprisingly came back that they had the gift of faith. And it was quite amazing to see that sometimes exercised. One year we felt that we had to, that God wanted us to get the Jesus movie. We felt that God wanted us to get the Jesus movie as a DVD delivered to every house in Maribor. Now that seems like a huge task when you think there's like 8,000 people live in Maribor, so you're talking 2,000 to 3,000 homes. Then you work out what's the cost of a DVD. So you're talking big money. But we shared this idea with the church, and the people that, there's this large group that had this gift of faith said, we believe it can happen. So we went ahead believing it could happen. And it was amazing that how things just miraculously started to happen. So the crowd that made the Jesus movie, I think, sold us the movies for $2 a DVD. You know, you wouldn't read about it, would you? So that's, but that's still a lot of money. So we prayed for the money and the money came. So when you have the gift of faith, It's about believing for the impossible, but it's not, you just know it's going to be, you know it's going to happen. And you pray and you just move forward and it happens. So it's a great gift to have, and I'm sure there's some here that have that gift. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. It's not a gift we see exercised too much in the world. I think when you read the scriptures, you see that this gift often manifests out there rather than within the church. Often the healings happen on the streets and so on. But we tend to try and pray for healing within. Whereas I sometimes think, as with most gifts, it's about the aim of the gift is to draw people to God. And I think often God wants to use our gifts with people that aren't yet believers. So if you think you may have a gift of healing, I encourage you to maybe look for a way to try it, not just within the church, but out there. Now, you've got to be very careful in how you use this gift. This is where it's good to talk to someone with the gift of wisdom, because you can do great damage by using this gift poorly. You know, you go in and say, God will heal you if you've got faith, and then you pray, oh, you're not healed, you mustn't have faith. You know, terrible damage has been done over the years like that. We've got to remember that it's up to God. Our job is just simply to pray. What are we up to? He gives one person the power to perform miracles. Again, a gift that I believe is more for that he wants us to use out there. And another, the ability to prophesy, to declare God's word, to be able to call people to God. Some people would call that the gift of preaching. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. People that have this gift just know when they hear something stirs within their spirit that they just know, that's not right, there's something not right here. Or if they meet a person, they're going, there's something just not, they just have this supernatural sense that something's not right. It's a very important gift in the church. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. There's a whole sermon I can do on that as well, the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. A gift, again, that I think the way it's been explained and used over the years has potentially caused more damage than good at times. But it's still a genuine gift from God, and a gift that can bring great blessing to the person with the gift as well as to others. The important thing is to realize that, like all gifts, they're to bring glory to God, not to ourselves. And we need to make sure with any of these gifts that we don't start to go, look at me, aren't I wonderful? I've got this gift or I've got that gift. They're all to bring glory to God. And then there's a few other gifts that are listed in some of these other passages, and I'll just quickly touch on some of them. One is the a gift of helps or gift of service. Generally, when I do spiritual gifts things with Salvation Army people, this one comes up a lot, because people with the gift of helps are attracted to the Salvation Army because of our practical work. If you've got the gift of helps, you want to help others. And Salvation Army is a church that's well placed for you to help others. So we do draw people into our fellowship with that gift. Others are the gift of encouragement. This is a great gift. Be friends with someone with the gift of encouragement. They just really lift your spirits. You know, it's not some of that false, you know, sometimes we can put on a bit of a false encouragement, you know what I mean? But this is just something that you can be feeling down in the dumps, and they just say something and it just lifts you up. There's the gift of giving, being this ability to, God just gives you this ability to be able to give well beyond what normal people would give. The gift of leadership and the gift of mercy. Again, the Salvation Army attracts a lot of people with the gift of mercy. A lot of people with the gift of mercy end up in nursing and those sort of professions where they're wanting to help those that are really struggling, that are sick. Or Mother Teresa would be a good example, I think, with someone with the gift of mercy. So God gives each one of us gifts, and there's more than that. That's just a bit of a selected list. But one of the challenges we have as we receive these gifts is to remember that every person receives a different gifts. Every person has a different avenue of ministry, and every person will experience a different working of God's power through the combination of their gifts and service. So we have to be careful that we don't project what our experience is onto others. I'll explain that a little bit further. Someone, for example, that might have the gift of evangelism might start getting really frustrated with people in their church because they're just not getting out there and sharing their faith. If they were true Christians, they'd be out there, they'd be sharing their faith every day, and they'd be bringing people to Jesus left, right, and center. And they can start to get quite almost angry, quite negative, start to actually become quite damaging to the life of the church because their experience is, well, when it just works for me. And they can't understand that everyone else is equipped differently. If we were all evangelists, we'd all be out there, we'd all drag them, we'd all be bringing them to Jesus, and then we'd have this building full of new Christians and no one to teach them. It wouldn't go down. We'd have a few problems on our hands. Sometimes in a Salvation Army context, I probably hear this most played out around the gift of helps. You know, people with the gift of helps, they might be working in the kitchen or something like that, and then they'll start to go, oh, look, so-and-so's out there. They never get in here and do anything. You know, we're always in here doing all this, and look at them. They're just sitting out there having a cup of talking to others. Oh, you know, when are they going to lift a finger and do something to help us? Not understanding that the person's out there actually probably exercising another gift. If we all had the gift of helps when we're in the kitchen doing the dishes, it might not be Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but it might get close, if you know what I mean. We all have different gifts, and so we need to make sure we don't project our experience onto others because it can do damage to our own faith as well as to the faith of others. So we need to celebrate our diversity, celebrate our uniquenesses, celebrate that God has equipped us each differently. Wouldn't it be boring if, you know, I was one of four kids, and imagine if we all got up for Christmas and we all got the same gifts. I'd be devastated. Yeah, you know. Wouldn't you be, if you've got multiple siblings, you'd be devastated, wouldn't you? God gives us each different gifts so that we can all work together in building his body and bringing glory to his name. So as I said, in 2 weeks' time, Sunday night at 6 p.m. in 2 weeks, we'll be doing a couple of weeks where we're going to go deep, doing a deeper dive into spiritual gifts. So if you're really not sure where to start when it's looking at your spiritual gifts, that's a good starting point to sort of, we'll do some questionnaires and things like that, but they're all tools. I think the best way to discover your gift we'll be looking at next Sunday morning. So I won't talk about that now, but if you want to discover how can I find my gift, we'll be talking about that next Sunday morning. So we're going to sing now. We're going to sing Show Me Your Ways. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. But you might just want to sit quietly and pray and ask God, show me what is your way with me? How do you want me to use my gift?